Let's start with Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:1, and we'll read on down through 6 anyway for now. This know also. So this is Paul, the apostle, our apostle, the apostle of the Gentiles, speaking to Timothy. And throughout this book, there's this thread of how to propagate the gospel, how to pass it on to the next generation, how to keep it going. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So Paul's preparing followers for the last days of the body of Christ on earth. There's a different last days for the body of Christ than there is for Israel. Israel's last days come later, after the last days of the body of Christ. Paul is intending let me just look at this. He wants the body of Christ to grow. That's what he's been, you know, all the way from 1 Corinthians 9:20 and in through there, 19:21-22. His heart's desire is for Israel. Romans, 10:1-2. But he says, in the last times, instead of growing, 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. That gets in the way of what God wants, our pride. It gets in the way of people even accepting the salvation that, or I should say receiving the salvation that God has made available to them. It says, men shall be lovers of themselves. And it goes on and says, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, tells us what to do. He says, from such, turn away. So, that's quite a list. And, you know, it was inspired, Paul was inspired of God to use these words to write it down. So, these things must have been happening at the time, too. I mean, any time since then could have been the last days, but they're not the last days until there's no more afterwards, until we're caught up to be with the Lord. So 2 Timothy 3:6, of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. Remember, I'm going to read three verses here that are relevant, I believe. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Not just Israel anymore. Paul's mystery, the mystery revealed to Paul is that it's the world. The gospel is being preached to the whole world. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, in other words, because God has committed unto us the word of reconciliation, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, in other words, in Christ's place, as if this was Christ talking to you, saying, be you reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. God made reconciliation to us, but we need to receive that and not put a blockage up there. Not say, I don't want that gift. I can't imagine somebody saying that, but that's what the unbelievers are doing. They're not being reconciled to God. God's reconciled them to himself, but they're rejecting it. So God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Not us knew no sin. We did no sin. We are sinners. It's Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So going on down through the consecutive verses, starting in 6, 2 Timothy 3:6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. Now, I'm not sure, it's not, it's kind of non-specific, but they had a lot of churches in houses at that time. And so he may be saying, hinting at they'll be sitting there in your Bible study groups, and pretty soon they'll be teaching other things instead of what the Bible teaches. And lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, or different lusts. Verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Right within the body of Christ, sitting in pews near us. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest, shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also, as Jannes and Jambres was also. I'm not sure. I think those weren't those the guys that the earth opened up under them and swallowed them up? That's not happening today. We don't have science. We don't go by science. We go by faith. We live by faith, and we are saved by faith. Walk by faith. Verse 10, 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou, Paul talking to Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine. And it's communicative here. He's, my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose. Thou hast fully known my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions. Verse 11. My afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. That's where he got stoned. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And I've got the one lesson on the website there about five times delivered. The Lord delivered Paul five times. And the ones he delivered him for are the ones that Christ himself said that he sent Paul to. That was what his sending was at that time. Those Jews and Greeks in the synagogues. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But thou, continue thou in all things, starting verse 14 over, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. He's going to go on and qualify that. Not everything you've learned. In the things thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Okay? They came from the scriptures, in other words. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto. What do the holy scriptures in the Old Testament do? They make you wise. It doesn't say they save you in this dispensation. In this dispensing of God, we're saved by the gospel, believing the gospel that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose the third day, resurrected the third day. But from a child, Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Wise to what? Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. When they hear it, they can believe it then. What about Scripture? All Scripture is given. That's a fact. All Scripture is given already. All scripture is given. Colossians 1:25 verifies it. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. There you got it in plain words right in the scriptures. God dispensed something from him to Paul for you, for me, to fulfill the word of God, the writing of the word of God. Fill up the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Well, then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. What if you hear the word of God and you reject it? How do we know it's legitimate words of God? 1 Corinthians 14:37. If a man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So Paul was uniquely designated to bring to us the word of God. We don't get the word of God newly revealed to us today. We get it by reading what Paul taught in the scriptures. In Romans through Philemon, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Yes, believers, Acts is not excluded from being profitable for doctrine. When kept in context, rightly divided, considering which people group each part was written to and written about, Acts is profitable for doctrine. Don't abuse it by failing to use it or by misapplying it, saying it's for the parts. Well, so, a large part of it is just as much for us as Acts, we're talking about Acts doctrine and the epistles, the Acts epistles written during the Acts period. A large part of those are just as much applicable to us as the epistles he wrote after the end of Acts. But there is additional information in those early epistles written during the Acts period, specifically for those Jews and Greeks, which don't exist anymore. That people group doesn't exist anymore. We don't have to worry about, you know, what if we wear a head covering or don't wear a head covering in front of the Jews that we're trying to win into the body of Christ before the end of Acts. You know, we're after the end of Acts. We don't have to worry about that now. Food offered to idols. All those ordinance type things that were ordinances before the end of Acts. After the end of Acts, we're not under ordinances. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man, what does that do for us? The man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished, through and through, unto all good works. That's our training grounds, that's our practice, that's our information, that's our enablement unto all good works. The goal is to perfect godly men. And that's what, remember when we read what God's will is? We'll get to that in a minute, but the means is to furnish the man of God through and through by the word of God. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy received a charge from Paul. And 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me. There it goes back to what Christ told Paul and Paul told us through the ones that he trained, including Timothy we're reading about here. The things that thou hast heard of me. among many witnesses. Those things, those very things that I taught you, Timothy, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, selecting those faithful men, sometimes sometimes people appear faithful and they're vain, or sometimes they may appear vain and they're really faithful. We need to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. But it says those faithful men shall be able to teach others also after they've been committed the things that Paul said to Timothy. So pass on Paul's charge to faithful men to teach others also. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. That's chapter 4, verse 1. We will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ as to how we carry out our charge. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13, 14, and 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. 1 Corinthians 3:15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Precious words there. Shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So again, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Believers in Paul's gospel will be judged at his appearing. Believers in Israel's kingdom gospel will be judged at his coming. Paul gets into the blunt, practical directions of what he's passing on to Timothy then. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. In other words, hang in there, because the truth remains the truth, with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's why we say over and over in this room, it doesn't help to go from teacher to teacher to find what you want to hear. Go to the Bible and find teachers that go to the Bible and stick with what the Bible says without going beyond what is written. Having itching ears, this is 2 Timothy 4:4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What a sad thing. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Anybody can speak up, whether you're taking a receipt from somebody and in your mind you understand a connection, you can put a word of scripture out to them they hand you the receipt. Contact is opportunity. The work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Verse 6, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul speaking of his end, death, impending death. I can just picture him at the table in his cell with soldier that was bringing him to the gallows or the cross, whatever, however he died, standing there waiting for him to finish this letter. This 2 Timothy. Paul knew that he only had a little while to finish passing on to Timothy all that would benefit him and us, too. He said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And notice the parallel wording and sentence construction between that verse, 2 Timothy 4:7, and Acts 20:24, about Christ's sending of Paul to the ministry to all men, sending him on beyond the Jews and the Greeks. Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither account I my life dear unto myself, so that I might, and here is where it gets very parallel to 2 Timothy 4:4. He says, I might finish my course with joy. And he adds something else in here then. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And you can go through and compare. I'm not going to take the time right now, but almost all the statements there are parallel. Acts 20:24 says to testify the gospel of the grace of God, and that's different from to testify about the gospel of the grace of God. To testify something involves showing it, living it in front of people. To testify involves dispensing something. To testify something is the idea of Romans 8:29 and Philippians 2:12. And let's look at those verses. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. To be conformed. I take that to mean, by the time we get to heaven, we'll be strictly holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the image of his Son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren, us believers in Paul's gospel. And then Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So, whose salvation? It's your own salvation. Christ has saved you. You are saved. A saved person is saved from condemnation. You'll never be in that lake of condemnation. So, and we see a parallel between Acts 20. My notes has got it repeating there. Let me just jump across that. But 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Henceforth means being true, this being true, or if so be, you know, since that's the fact, then we go on from there. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Paul didn't say, henceforth there is laid up for me the righteousness of God. No. All believers in the gospel of the grace of God already have been imputed the very righteousness of God. Here Paul is saying, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's a crown involved with that righteousness of God. Crowns have to do with ruling a domain, don't they? Crowns have to do with dominion. Remember, Adam was given dominion and he lost it? The dominion is what Satan usurped from Adam. And here Paul is talking about being used in the victory of God over Satan. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. I hope that includes everybody in this room. I believe it'll be out of context to take love his appearing to mean the catching up. I believe Paul is talking about Christ's appearance to him on the road to Damascus and the abundance of revelations to Paul since then that Christ said he would give him. And that's what Paul's been talking about here, preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, what was revealed, the secret that was revealed to Paul for us. So during due to his current condition, Paul was giving instructions how to continue to propagate the gospel and to continue the growth in the body of Christ on earth. 2 Timothy 4:9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Paul hints the death penalty waiting for him. He says, come shortly. In other words, I don't have much time left here. 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's the last we hear of Demas. He's not like Mark. Mark departed, and then he came back, and Paul said he was useful to him, to Paul. So apparently the discipling, I guess we could call it, of Barnabas with Mark after they split from Paul and Silas, apparently that discipling and training and praying with and working with Mark paid off, and Mark responded. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. And that's in opposition to having loved those in this present world. I'm not talking about loving those people in the present world that need to be saved. Demas loved the world system, the things of the world, worldliness. And he goes on, Demas has departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. And that's, as far as I know, that's the furthest north and east that the gospel had been gotten to before the close of the scriptures. Dalmatia there, by what used to be Yugoslavia, the area of Bosnia, Croatia. There's a couple other, I think, nations there too. But if you look at the map of those times, Dalmatia is farther north than it is recorded that Paul had physically traveled. It's northwest of Achaia, which is Greece, and Macedonia, Philippi area there. It's northwest of Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Dalmatia is in the area that used to be called Yugoslavia. And from this, we can see that by the end of his last epistle, Paul had been sending fellow laborers far hence to the far-off Gentiles. Dalmatia is farther out than where Paul ministered, than any other place that Paul mentioned. He said he had been as far as Corinth in 2 Corinthians 10, I think 16, when he was raising funds to go beyond there. If Paul had been commissioned earlier to go to all men, then we would have read in Acts about Titus departing to Dalmatia. But it wasn't until 2 Timothy that we read that. Okay, I'm done.